Thank you for choosing this resource by Creflo and Taffy Dollar. Our goal is to provide an understanding of God's grace and empower change. Now listen to the gospel taught with simplicity and understanding, and watch it change your life.
We have been talking about prayer. In fact, we're talking about turning prayer into communion. Turning prayer into communion. You know, a couple of things we've said already about prayer is that prayer gives God consent. It gives heaven consent. It's kind of like when you're building something in the natural, you know, you have to go get a permit. Well, prayer is like a heavenly permit. And it's so important that we understand that we're not going to God begging for stuff. We're not going to God being motivated by, you know, trying to get him to do something that will please us. But what we're doing is, you know, prayer is so many things. It's saying to God what God has already said in his word. It's praise and worship. It's literally to kiss the face of God. It's a time of communion that should not just be a set time every day, but it should be something that you're doing throughout the day. Not a set time, but what you're doing throughout today. And so what I'm trying to do in this series is to convince you to take your prayer life and turn it into communion. To take your prayer life and say, God, I want to practice your presence every day. I want to practice your presence. I don't want to just spend an hour with you in the morning and not have anything to say to you or to hear from you throughout the day. But it's allowing God to be a part of our everyday life throughout our everyday lives, and not make it such a religious practice where, you know, you just do this at this time. It's having communion with him every day. And this is what's going to cause some powerful results to happen in your life. And after all, if you're praying and not getting any impact or effect from prayer, I mean, what good is it to do it? And so we're going to continue this series tonight, and I want to talk to you about the essence of prayer and how to take that prayer and turn it into communion. So if you have your Bibles, go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And I want to begin tonight with this statement here. Prayer is communion with God. Prayer is communion with God. And your communion with God should be constant. Prayer is a communion with God, and your communion with God should be constant. It shouldn't be scheduled. And I know that probably really ruffling up a lot of feathers, but it's a constant communion with God. It is not a monologue where you're doing all the talking. It is a dialogue where you and God are communing. You know, it's like, you know, getting up in the morning. Father, I thank you so much for allowing me to wake up this morning. And Lord, I thank you for the day that I get a chance to live in. And Father, teach me what I need to do today. Teach me how to live today. And then pause and seeing what God has to say to you. And then, you know, if you work out in the morning, you go and you work out, and Father, I thank you that I'm safe and I won't get any injuries. And then after the workout, Father, I thank you that I made it through, and thank you that movement is a blessing. And I thank you that I have no injuries for that. And I just praise you for that right now in the name of Jesus. Then pause and listen to him. And then you go and you get ready for your work or whatever you have to do. And while you're getting dressed, you know, maybe praying in the Holy Spirit or singing praises to him in thanksgiving. Because I believe New Testament prayer is the majority of the time dealing with praise, worship, and thanksgiving. And so you're praising and worshiping God and giving him thanks and listening to what he has to say. You know, I prayed this morning right before I went online with our daily confessions, and I asked the Lord, I said, listen, I think it was the other morning, and I asked the Lord and I said, could you give me a really good scripture to use to encourage people? And before I could get the whole request out of my mouth, he was already answering me. I mean, I'm thinking, and that's something that's been happening over and over and over again, because I'm convinced that it's communion. It's you're used to talking to him, and then he talks to you. You're used to talking, and he'll give you answers. He'll give you enlightenment. So prayer is constant communing with God, a communion with God. You know, the only time some Christians use the word communion is when they're taking, you know, the bread and the cup, and that's cool. But a communion with God, that's what Adam and Eve had in the garden. It was a communion. It wasn't a religious prayer. It was communion with God. It was something you did because you wanted to do. It was a fellowship and a time that you spent with God because you wanted to. It wasn't motivated by what you need. It wasn't motivated by what you had to have or trying to get God to do something. It was a relationship building communion. And that's what it should be between you and God, a relationship building communion. So prayer is communion with God, and your communion with God should be something that is constant. Now, I want to again look at Matthew chapter 6 and 9. It's the Lord's Prayer here, and make some comments here. In verse 9, let's read through 13. He says, after this manner, you know, the disciples ask a question, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, after this manner, or he's answered, Lord, teach us to pray. They ask, and he says, well, pray after this manner, or after this outline, or after this way. And he says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So now, please understand something. Jesus didn't intend for what we've traditionally called the Lord's Prayer to be repeated word for word the way the church has done it for years. When he answered the question, well, what's the manner or the structure or the outline that we should pray? He never intended for us to pray the manner and the outline word for word, just like churches have been doing for years. I mean, I used to do that. Every time I did a funeral, I would say, let's repeat the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. And he never gave that to us to be repeated word for word the way it's been done in church. Now, this is shocking, but that's not a New Testament prayer. That's not a New Testament prayer. And somebody said, well, it's in the New Testament. It's in Matthew. You know, you got to go back and get my previous sermons about rightly dividing the word of truth. This is not a New Testament prayer. Because a New Testament prayer must be prayed in the name of Jesus. Look at John chapter 16, 23 and 24. New Testament prayers are prayed in the name or in the authority of Jesus Christ. Okay? And so look what he says. And in that day, remember the two ministries of Jesus. Number one, to show the true spirit behind the law. And number two, through prophecies, begin to show this new way of living, this grace-based system where it talked about, instead of just calling God, you can call him daddy. It talked about love. It talked about light. Well, he's now saying, in that day you shall ask me nothing. He says, but verily, verily, I say unto you in that day, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So he says, in that day, referring to that day of that new covenant, that day of that grace, he says, you're going to ask the Father in my name. Hitherto have you asked nothing up to now. You hadn't asked anything in my name. See what he said? Up to now, you've not asked anything, or hitherto you've not asked anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive what? That your joy may be full. And so now Jesus is giving instructions. There's coming a time where you're going to ask in my name. That's New Testament prayer. That's New Testament praying. Now, I know this is probably, you know, a challenge for you to work this out in your mind, because traditionally this is just what we've always done. And that's what I'm really trying to help us with. It's like, just because we've always done a thing doesn't necessarily mean, you know, it was in line with the New Testament. It was in line with what Jesus was trying to show us about this new way of living. And so the Lord was giving us a model for prayer in Matthew chapter 6, 9 through 13. He's given us a prayer model. And it's not something to repeat. It's a prayer model. So Christ's model outline for prayer started, if you'll look at Matthew 6 and 9, it started with praise. It ended with thanksgiving, and in between you made request. And that's basically what he was trying to show you. They asked, how do we pray? He says, start off with praise. In between, make request if necessary. And at the end, thanksgiving. And that's good. I mean, that's how I start my communion with God. I get up in the morning and I start thanking God for everything that I can possibly thank God for. You know, some people may rate it as big or small, but it doesn't matter. I start thanking God for everything I can thank God for. Now, the only difference is, yes, there are times, well, I'll ask God, you know, Lord, show me how to live. That's a request. Lord, help me not to do something to hurt myself today. That's a request. Lord, make me sensitive to what you would have me to do today. That's a request. And then I spend time, like prayer is saying to God what God has already said in his word. And New Testament prayer is taking hold of the finished works of Jesus Christ and begin to receive it by faith and begin to thank God for it. So in between praise and thanksgiving, I'm like, Father, I just thank you that I'm already healed. I thank you that Jesus died and shed his blood for me to be healed. And I thank you for that, Lord. I give you praise for that. Most of New Testament prayer is bathed in praise and worship. Most of New Testament prayer is bathed in praise and worship because I'm praising and thanking God for what he's already done. You know, I could be asking God, I pray that you will, you know, give me healing. Well, he's already given me healing. Well, God, I pray that you prosper me today. Well, he's already prospered me today. So you got to be careful because that's one prayer that'll never be answered. When you ask God to do what he's already done, that's a prayer he can't answer. Why? Because it's already done. So there, remember I told you there are two prayers that God will never answer. Number one, when you ask God to do what he's already done. And number two, when you ask God to do what he's already told you to do. And so, I mean, it may look religious and it may look make you look like you're real spiritual asking God for what he's already done. And so that's why we got to be students of the word so that we'll know that, wait a minute, I'm asking God to do something that I said I believe that's already finished. I'm asking God to heal me and he healed me 2,000 years ago. I'm asking God to deliver me and deliverance was made available 2,000 years ago. I'm asking God to prosper me and favor me and that was done on the cross. So New Testament praying should be, Father, according to your word, you said with your stripes I'm healed. And I just give you praise for that right now. Receive that in the name of Jesus. That's New Testament praying. But for the most part, the church has been praying things that Jesus has already made available. And that is doubt all day long. It's doubt all day long. It's like, you know, the Bible says if you believe in your heart and don't doubt in your heart. Well, when you're asking for something that's doubt all day long. It's religion that's moving you to pray that way. And so we need to back up, find out what God said in his word, find out what his blood has settled, find out what his finished works are. And then we begin to pray in agreement with the finished works, okay? We start off praising God for what he's done. And in the midst of it, you know, so somebody says, well, how do I ask God to help me financially? Well, you go to God and say, Father, I thank you that, 2,000 years ago, you made a way for me to prosper and favor me financially. So I believe I receive that right now. And I thank you for that right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would help me to walk in faith and keep my confidence all day long where this is concerned. You see, you make the requests, but the requests are not going to be so much dealing with what he's already dealt with. If I end up asking God for something, it's most of the time going to be asking God to assist me to, Lord, help me to labor, to rest in what you've already done. You see, Lord, help me to maintain an attitude of gratitude and help me to be strong today. And I receive the strength that you've already made available to me. Praise God. I really believe this. God has already done everything you can think about asking him. And but, you know, it's very appropriate and it is scriptural that there are times that you ask God for something. Like I just said, Lord, help me to live right today. And Lord, help me to hear with crystal clear hearing your instructions today. And I believe I receive that. Your instructions are available. But I thank you that I believe I receive that. So there's lots of requests you can make in there, but not so much requesting for him to do what he's already done. Okay? That's New Testament praying. And so as we begin to look at this, that Lord's Prayer, which we call it, it's Christ's model outline for prayer. And we start it with praise, we end it with thanksgiving, and in between, there are requests that are made. Now, in prayer, you have to choose these two things. In prayer, you have to choose to, number one, magnify God, or number two, magnify your problem. In prayer, you have to make a decision. In prayer, I decide that I'm going to magnify God in prayer versus magnifying my problem. Now, if you've ever, you know, been a part of a church and you've had a chance to hear people pray, you will notice that a lot of times, if you'll take note, people spend a lot of times making their problems big in prayer, magnifying their problems in prayer. Oh, Father, you know, the doctor said I'm sick. And Lord, they said that if you don't do nothing, then I'm gonna die. And Father, I need money to get the operation. And they said it may work and it may not work, but Lord, you in control. We hadn't magnified God at all. We magnified the problem, dumped it on God, and ended up praying some kind of Mickey Mouse prayer to make it seem like it was all right. You have to. You got to decide every day, I'm going to magnify the problem in prayer, or I'm going to magnify God in prayer. I'm going to magnify the promise in prayer. I'm going to magnify the finished works of Jesus in prayer, which is the one that's most appropriate. It's magnifying God. Prayer is a time where you make God big. Prayer is a time where you are not talking to God about your problems. You're talking to your problems about what God has already provided. You're talking to your problems about what God has already done for it. Now, I'm telling you, man, there are people that this is what they do. They talk to God about their problems. No, we talk to our problems. We tell our problems about our God. I'm telling you, New Testament praying, you'll begin to experience what I'm experiencing in my communion time with God. And that is, I'm talking to him and he's answering me. I'm talking to him and he's answering me. I mean, there have been times that have blown me away. I'll be in bed and I will ask God for something and it'll happen before I go to sleep. And I'm like, whoa, that was quick. You know, I've cultivated patience and okay, I'll be patient, but it really brings me great joy when I have a God that'll do it just like that. I'm like, wow. Well, there's a scripture that said, before you ask, he'll answer. And I'm like, man, this is really true. And it's like, nobody can tell me there's not a God. I mean, I experience him in my walk every day. And that's the thing that just it brings you closer to him. You're in his presence. And, you know, I showed you in one of our previous sessions how meditating and what you think about becomes a part of prayer. And I do that a lot. I'm in my mind. I'm not really focused in on what's going on as much as I am talking to God. And he's talking to me and showing me things. And it's a great way. It's the foundation for every successful endeavor in life. Prayer is the foundation for every successful endeavor in life. In fact, every failure in life might be a prayer failure. Every failure in life may be a prayer failure. And I believe that in this particular time and all the things that are going on right now, we as Christian people need to know how to pray according to that new way of praying, according to that new covenant is what I'm referring to, according to the covenant of grace, according to that New Testament that Jesus enacted after his death, you see. And you know, something had to change. We're still praying prayers before the cross instead of praying prayers based on what happened after the cross. And we're still going and looking up stuff that was prayed a certain way before the cross and not paying attention to prophecies and what Jesus is saying about prayer after the cross. And I am telling you, it's like I'm a witness. I'm not telling you what I read. I'm telling you what I know. When you move from prayer into communion, your life's going to change and you're going to see your invisible partner show up and do some magnificent things in your life that'll just bring glory to God Almighty. Amen. So a huge amount of prayer, I believe, ought to be praise. Praise blesses God and praise strengthens you. Praise blesses God, and praise strengthens you. So when there's something that's going on in my life or something that needs to be happening in my life, first thing I think about is Jesus has already done something about that. I'm going to go ahead and exalt him, praise him, and magnify him where that is concerned. Amen. Let's look at the scripture in Psalms 22, verse 3. He said, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." God inhabits praise. And we just limit it to just singing. And you know, I'm going to show you where there was time spent, you know, praying and singing at the same time. And I'm going to tell you that when you're singing, that's praying. I'm telling you, when you open your mouth up and you're worshiping, that's praying. And God inhabits that. God inhabits prayer that's filled with praise, and he inhabits praise that's prayer. I don't know if a lot of people knew that. We were always trying to separate praise and prayer. I don't know if you're praying New Testament prayer. There's a very thin line between, I don't even know how you can separate praise from prayer or prayer from praise. Except the song be totally against the word. You can be singing a song that's not biblically based or New Testament based, and then, you know, it might not work. You know, certainly God's not gonna do too much with a song. "And now, Lord, come and move my mountain and, you know, give me the strength to climb. I've been beat up all day long, and I ain't no good, Jesus. If you know, I ain't no good, Jesus. I ain't no good. I ain't no good." I don't know that's going to be called prayer. That ain't going to be called prayer. That ain't even going to be called praise. But when everything lines up like it's supposed to line up, you can really, really see how worship and prayer are hand in hand. You see, one of the words in the original language for prayer literally means worship. One of the words in this thing of prayer, one of the words, the original language for prayer literally means worship. Another word, it's translated kiss the face. Kiss the face, to kiss the face. So I'm going to say this. I don't know if I've ever said it before, but I'm going to say it now. I'm convinced not because, well, ain't nobody else said it or it ain't been, you know, in a book or whatever. I'm just telling you, I know this. Prayer is worship and worship is prayer. Prayer is worship and worship is prayer, because prayer is loving and communing with God. Prayer is loving and communing with God. And so that's why I say prayer is worship. Prayer is worship and worship is prayer. Worship is a powerful word that people throw all over the place. But, you know, when I think of worship, I'm thinking about a relationship where it's about pleasing God. A relationship where it's about pleasing God. See, in our lives as Christians, we're always going to have this decision to make. Am I going to live a life that pleases me? Am I trying to please me? Or am I living a life where I want to please God? And ultimately, if you just look at everything that happens in your life, it is either you having a relationship with God so you can bring pleasure to yourself, or you having a relationship with God where you can bring pleasure to him. And when you're talking about prayer is worship, that's something that's like, Lord, I am making this about you. I am amplifying your grace and magnifying your grace and making this about you. And I don't know, you know, versus other, sometimes people pray it and they make the prayer about them. I've seen things change as I make it about him, and I make it about what he has done, and I make it about what he's made available. And then I say, you know, who is like unto thee, God? When I start looking at what he's done and what he's made available, it's like, who is like you? Who is like you? And I go into totally forgetting about my issue, totally forgetting about it, and just being, just for lack of better vocabulary, just so encouraged that look at what he's done. Prayer is worship and worship is prayer. There's no way you can come out and you know, you're worshiping God, and it's, and all that you're doing and all that you're saying has little to nothing to do with you. Prayer is about worship, and worship is prayer, because prayer is this, it's this loving communion. It's loving and communing with God. Loving and communing with God. That's what prayer is. Loving and communing with God. You know, that's what worship is. Worship is loving and communing with God. You know, we said that our giving is a worship. That's because it's about loving and communing with Him, even where our finances are concerned. It's like, look at all the stuff you've done. You delivered me out of this ditch. You healed me from that when they said it wasn't going to happen. You fixed that. You fixed that. And four out of five of them, I was favor. Four out of five of them just showed up and you start doing stuff. I got to worship you. Boy, that is just, you know, as I'm teaching this right now, it's just, it's when you walk this walk and you begin to know it and you see these things happen and you begin to talk to Him. I remember when the pandemic first hit, first thing I was doing, I'm talking to God. I'm like, well, I ain't never went through nothing like this, Lord. I need you to show me what to do. Show me what to do. And I just praise you that you have an answer for this. I just praise you that this isn't the first time that this has happened. This is not new to you. You died on the cross for COVID-19. This is nothing new to you. And I just give you praise. And I got my ears open for what you will say to me. And then I started praising God for all other things that have happened in my life. And He spoke then. And I started having a flashback. Father, I thank you for what you said to me when that happened. Father, I thank you when you gave me wisdom when that happened. Lord, I give you praise when that happened. And I didn't know. I just thank you that you showed up and did. And I said, well, you know, I want to let you know, here's the motive of my heart, God. And I said this to Him. I said, you know, it's been a good ride. And if this is the end of World Changers Ministry and World Changers Church, I said, I'm still going to have a relationship with you. I said, I'm still going to have my relationship with you is not based on whether the church is open or whether my relationship with you is based on our, we got something personal going on here. And man, as soon as I said that, I felt something just come over me, and God just started speaking to me what to do. He said, connectivity is the key. I want you to just share with people what you and I do every day. Just take it and share it with them. And I tell people what I do every morning. Now I guess they know, because they've been involved with me in the morning times going through these things. And he says, just share it and just keep doing what you do. You know, keep preaching on Wednesday nights, keep preaching on Sundays, and just use the technology to send them out. And I got it. And I did. I said, well, Lord, I'll do that. And I mean, you've never been through. That's what God told me to do, and I did it. And I am just amazed of the number of people who have gotten born again, the number of people who I see, you know, of course, on the daily confessions, their lives have changed. The people that are getting healed, it's mind boggling. God's like, there's no time or distance in the spirit where God is concerned, and He know how to reach people. And I'm more available, and I'm connected more with you guys, with our church and our friends and members than ever before. But it was that time of communion with God. It was that time of hearing what He had to say. It was that time of just worshiping Him and thanking Him for what He's already done. That's just amazing stuff. Amen. And so one of the things I've discovered in my time with Him is that God is a person. Say that out loud. God is a person. God is a person. God doesn't enjoy you coming to Him because you have to. God is a person. God is a person. That helped me. God is a person. He's not a thing. He's not some energy floating around. He is a person. And so an intimate relationship must be developed over time, whether it's with God or whether you're talking about somebody else. But it's with time. See, you can't become my best friend in 10 minutes, you know, when we meet at the airport or when we meet, it's going to take more than 10 minutes to become my best friend. And so it's the same thing where God is concerned. You know, it's taking the time day by day, developing an intimate relationship with Him. Intimate mean come into me and see. So God comes into my heart. I let Him in. He lets me in as well. He sees things about my heart, and he allows me to see things about him. And I'm just so blessed that God would do something like that. So an intimate relationship must be developed over time. Over time, are you ready to develop that relationship over time? Hey, my time's up. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for you being a person and being a friend. And I pray in the name of Jesus that all is well with those who are a part of this teaching tonight, that they will desire to become more of a friend to you and commune with you. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now in their lives. I thank you that somehow by the Spirit of God, you have captured their attention. I thank you somehow by the Spirit of God, there's a hunger on the inside of them. There's a stirring on the inside of them. I just believe right now that some of them are just hungry to want to spend time with you right now. I believe that even after this teaching, some are just motivated to spend that time with you. Oh, God, I give you praise. There's nobody like you. We already know that. I pray blessings upon the Wednesday night crew. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here tonight, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and you say, listen, I'd like to get born again. I believe what you're saying, that something just went off in my spirit when you were teaching this tonight. And I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. Well, you say this simple prayer after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner. But right now, I repent of my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died and was raised from the dead. And he's now seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Sit on the throne of my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. I receive you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to text I'm saved, that's one word, to 51555. I want you to provide your name, your email address, and then I'll send you a free ebook as a gift to you today as you begin your new walk in Jesus Christ. And I'm when I first got born again, you know, I didn't know nothing, but I knew one thing, that I can't do anything without him. And that if I'm going to do something and be successful at it, I'm going to have to walk as a barefooted priest and walk side by side, which means I don't need to walk in front of the Holy Spirit. I don't need to walk behind him. I need to walk with him. And so I congratulate you today on your move.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. We pray that this message has encouraged and empowered you to pursue God's best for your life. His grace is the pathway to living an abundant life. For additional life-changing resources or to learn about becoming a 2020 Vision Partner, visit our website at www.creflodollarministries.org or call toll-free 1-866-477-7683. Thank you for your support of Creflo Dollar Ministries. People like you change the world.